Okay, so today is Friday, November 23rd, 2018. It is the day after Thanksgiving. I am sitting in my parents' home in Springville, California with my grandmother, my mom's mom. And I just shared with her what StoryCorps is and why I'm using it. I'm working on doing a project to record stories about my grandma, things that have made her who she is, what influenced her as a mom and a wife, and now how her role as my grandmother is watching her, I consider her a matriarch in our family, how that role influences me now today as being a mom and a wife. So, Grandma, I will just get started on some of these kind of questions I have, but feel free to just say whatever you want. So, okay. To start in current day is what are things that we're doing as a family that you're enjoying?
Well, I can say everything. The fact that I'm part of everything and anything that goes on in the family. Yeah. I mean, from your family to Jody's family and John's family, they're all there for me at all times, and I am invited to everything they do.
Yeah.
I don't like today have a dull moment.
Yeah. Okay. So what about today? Like, talk about what you just did this morning.
Okay. I knew last night that we were going to go to breakfast this morning. The time was going to be 9 o'clock. And as far as I knew, it was going to be Jennifer and Delfino and Emerald and Calista. And it's done. Basically, it's Jennifer's annual birthday celebration for her grandpa. And she's been doing it ever since he passed. So it was actually added Janelle and Todd and Brixton and Caleb and Jody and Mitch. And Todd and his girlfriend, Angel. So we have a large group for breakfast this morning.
That sounds about right for a family get-together.
This is definitely what happens when we go out. It adds up to more than two or three people. But that's so far. I got home. Oh, I went to the post office, picked up my mail, walked in the door. The phone was ringing, and it was Bernadette. Ready to do our little questionnaire.
Wondering where you were.
Yeah.
Come over.
And so now I have arrived at the Walker's residence, and Bernie's here ready to tell a story.
Okay. To me, just alone, what you did this morning is interesting. It's, I think, informative of what our family does, what your role. I mean, I can read so much deeper into that of, you know, why that's important for Jennifer, you know, why that's important to you to still acknowledge Grandpa, even though he passed 21 years ago, and what an active role he even still plays 21 years later in your life and his kids' lives, his grandkids' lives.
His great-granddaughter? Would be his great-granddaughter. Brixton, yesterday, walked into Jody's front door with a bouquet of yellow roses, walked over to me and presented them to me, and said, "Happy anniversary."
Why is that special? Why does that touch you?
Well, it all goes back to the same old thing. It's 66 years, but we didn't get 66 years. Yeah. It meant so much.
That's a tough one, Grandma. Well, can I share with you maybe to give you a moment to just think, but and I touched on this before we hit record, but you know, I've been a wife now for 8.5 years, with Chase for 14,
and a half years. Mm-hmm. And that's by far the most important thing I do. I mean, I think equally so being a mom is as important, but being a wife to him. And part of that's because I picked a really good man to marry. But mm-hmm. another part of that is I've had exceptional examples in my life mm-hmm. of what being a wife looks like. And then the other piece of that too, you know, is being a mom. And I grew up in your home a lot. I was there a lot. And we were parented by you and Grandpa. And we were, we got to watch what family looked like. I mean, that meant eating your meals together. That mm-hmm. meant sitting at, you had breakfast, lunch, and dinner together. We went and did I mean, you and Grandpa would take Janelle and me to go on your car, the car club trip. And it's like, how you guys ever agreed to take Janelle and me. We're like the two, we're worse than siblings. I mean, we were awful together.
No, you weren't. You were both beautiful girls. You were so much fun to have around, and everybody enjoyed. I always asked where you were.
We were entertaining, at least. Yeah. You know, but that's, you and Grandpa did that. You prioritized family time. You prioritized being with your kids, with your kids' kids. Mm-hmm. I grew up, you know, when we went to your house, it was about just doing stuff. You know, I think back on that
you
now.
You were the most important part of being there.
Yeah, it was, a balance between like us being taken care of, but also us having a lot of freedom to explore, and we didn't sit and watch TV. Although I still have, you know, certain shows come on that were things Grandpa watched, and it's such a trigger for me of like, why do I feel this like happy, warm feeling? Right. I'm like, oh, that's because that's a show I was in the background when I was at Grandma and Grandpa, only at night, not during the day.
Yeah. Right. No, we played outside during the day.
Yeah. But I'm amazed at, as an adult now, I make responsible decisions because of who Grandpa was mm-hmm. in our lives. I mean, he influenced me enough as a child. I mean, I think I was 12 when he passed away.
Yeah.
That I still somehow kept those values and use them now
using them
as
yourself.
An adult.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm watching my cousins do the same thing.
They
so.
Are. They, it's, he was amazing.
Yeah.
With kids. He really was. And he wanted everybody to learn. Mm-hmm. You didn't sit and do nothing. You'd learn something when you were with him. He'd take you out in the shop and show you things out there. And whenever we went on the car club, I mean, it was always learning to be nice to people, to mind your manners. I mean, it was just all kinds of things that he taught.
Yeah. Do you recall that you and Grandpa had conversations about values you wanted to instill? Whether it was when you had the kids, you know, when you guys just had young kids at home with you, or when you became grandparent, like, do you remember having conscious conversations about that, or how did you come to an understanding
of?
It was
just a meld. Yeah. We just melded it together. I don't think Grandpa and I ever talked about how you're going to bring up the kids. It was just, you work together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was love. That's all I can say. I mean, there was no words between us about how we're going to do this or how we're going to do that. We just did it.
Mm-hmm. Can you think of specific things maybe that you felt or you knew you guys were trying to teach Mom and Aunt Jody and Uncle John?
I think so. I think that we would talk about the accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
That they were making from the time they were young. I mean, the talking and walking and I remember particularly John, when he was probably 2 years old, he still didn't talk.
Mm-hmm.
He made sounds and motions for what he wanted, and he got what he wanted. And my sister-in-law, Janine, decided that he was going to start talking. He spent the whole day crying because she wouldn't give him what he wanted. But she was determined.
Well, that hasn't changed than parenting, because we still go, you know, it's the, like, if my kid hasn't reached that milestone, someone else thinks they can fix that for them.
Right. Then that's not true. You can't. She found out that he took his time and he started talking when he needed to. And even today, he doesn't talk. He still doesn't. I mean, you can carry on a conversation with him, but he never pushes it, right. You know. But yeah, that's things that, like, little things like that that you talk about. Now, what are we going to do about it, you mm-hmm. know? And we were both at the determined day that we were going to just let it happen.
Yeah.
You know, and he walked early. He walked at 9 months, but he didn't talk. But he got what he wanted.
Yeah.
It's by making noises. And then, of course, Jody was so tiny that she was difficult because she was so small.
A fussy baby?
No, she was a very good baby.
In fact,
she almost slept too much.
Hmm.
But she was only 5 pounds mm-hmm. when we brought her home. She'd already been in the hospital for a month until she gained to 5 pounds.
Hmm.
And then she got to come home. And so John was 2. And it was...
So where were you different. When you had Jody? Where were you guys living?
We were living in La Crescenta. We were living in Tauhanga. Because Gramps was working for the phone company. She was, I think, probably a year old when we moved to La Crescenta.
Mm.
A little house on Parisa Way. I think we took your kids by that. Where it had the big rock wall that Grandpa built.
Hmm. I can't remember off the top of my head.
It had a great big huge tree in the front yard. It had a rock wall that he'd gone and gotten a river rock from the river
and,
up there.
And built it?
And built a, yeah.
That's not, is that the Costa Mesa house?
No, it's La Crescenta.
Maybe, I think Mom and Dad took us by the Costa Mesa
they
house. Could've. I have a
Oh, the
memory.
Costa Mesa house, yeah. Well, that was after that.
A memory of that one.
Yeah, we moved there when your mom... was a week old.
That's
No, we moved. Yeah, we moved there. Let me think. She was born 62.
61.
61. Mm-hmm. We moved.
Yeah.
She was born on the 15th of 61. We moved to Costa Mesa. 1 month later.
Oh my goodness.
And we had only just moved into the house, and we had moved, I think we moved in that house in November. She was born in December. Mm-hmm. We left that house in January and moved to Costa Mesa. She says we didn't get pictures of her. That's why we didn't get pictures of her.
That's fair. Because
Grandpa started a new job. I was moving into a brand new house. We didn't have any furniture.
I've moved 5 times. No, yeah, 5 times in 3 years. All in that time had started with 1 1-year-old and ended with an almost 2-year-old in that 5-year span. So I
get really that. Not easy.
Not easy. So why were you guys moving?
Let's see. He worked at the phone company. He left the phone company. What was the deal? He was looking for work. Oh, yeah. He was looking for... We had sold the house on Parisa Way and bought a house on Las Olivas. It had a shop in the back. And so he was going to start a gardening business. Well, his brother moved to Costa Mesa with Kent Bergstrom, and they started Amp Electric.
Hmm.
So they offered Grandpa a job, and we moved to Costa Mesa. Like I say, this all happened from November to January.
So this makes me wonder, like, what was Grandpa's educational background?
He had not finished high school, so he went back to college, and he got his high school diploma.
So he got his...
And then he went and became an electrical engineer.
Okay.
And then he got his job at the phone company. His first job at the phone company was painting the lines in the parking lot. worked himself up to be the head engineer of that particular telephone company in Tauhanga under his boss, and then his boss retired and he got his boss's job. Hmm.
What was the name of that company? Do you remember?
The Sunland Tauhanga Telephone Company.
Hmm.
Still there.
So
we moved to Tauhanga there. That's when we moved to Tauhanga.
And then what prompted Costa Mesa was following...
That was Ample Electric.
Fred. Okay. And then what prompted Springville?
Well, okay. Springville was... We had been to Springville with our neighbors. Well, I had been to Tipton. We started in Tipton. And we visited Tipton for a couple of years off and on with the bus, because we had started the bus. He was still looking for AMP, working for AMP, but we had the bus.
And you would go to see friends.
And we would go in the bus.
Had family moved up this way yet? Any other?
No. Okay, in 1967, no, 68. Grandmommy and Bop bought Springville. In 1969, they came to us and asked if we could loan them the money for the taxes on the Springville property.
Who was this?
This was the Owens' grandparents.
Uh-huh.
The Grandmommy and Bop Owens.
Okay.
And then before, there was some time in between 78 or 68 and 70 that they offered the property to us, and we bought it. We lived in Springville.
Is this the property you live on now?
Yeah.
Okay.
The reason we moved from Costa Mesa to Springville was Annie Jan, remember Annie Jan? Mm-hmm. Okay. Annie Jan's two girls and Fred's daughter were given drugs, and there was drugs very prevalent in Costa Mesa.
You moved to talk, because how old would Uncle
John was 15.
Okay.
And once they found out the girls, we went on a camping trip. And the girls apparently had whatever drugs they were doing. I don't know what it was. They hallucinated in the tent. And that's when we found out. Well, we also found out who was giving them, selling them, basically, because the kids were stealing money. And Uncle Fred almost killed the man. I mean, he came so far, so very close. Between he and Kent, the kid was lucky he lived, really. So... we were working the bus business then. We had all the buses then. And so we left Al Johnson down there with the buses, and he was working on those. We brought one up here to work on. Fred came up and bought the property on Globe Drive, 14 acres.
Mm-hmm.
He did not intend on moving here, but the people... There were cows on the property that he acquired with the property, and the cows had calves. The Owens that lived in Tipton came up to live on their property and rented out their ranch, so they didn't have that in Tipton. So the baby calves were born. And that's what started the calf business, were those baby calves. We tried putting them on the ground in wooden pens. They died. So we got to researching what goes on when a calf's born and the milk that it gets from its mother and why you don't want to take them away until they've had so much of this colostrum milk. And the fact that they were living and sleeping in their own manure. And Grandpa decided that they got to get them up off the ground. And he built a calf pen. Took it to a dairy, Fernandez Dairy, and let him use it to see if it worked for them. And that started the calf business. the calf raising and the calf business, calf pen business. We started raising our own calves up to 150 at a time sometimes. And that's when your aunt and uncle and mother got up every morning and fed calves before they went to school.
And then I assume that's the calf feeders kind of.
And then it went into the feeders, too.
Did Grandpa ever get any of this stuff patented? Do you know?
We tried to patent the calf pens. There were too many things out there that looked like it or was the same idea. So we just forgot it and decided, well, you know.
But he still built them and
oh, yeah, we still built them and sold them and marketed them by ourselves. There was one outfit in Texas where we had sold calf pens, and this couple of guys decided they were going to copy it. Well, we found out, what Don said was, well, let's see how much money they've got. Because you've got to have your sales before you start building these things. Well, they didn't make it. So we never did have any competition. We've had competition with the feeders, but it's still the idea. There's feeders standing up on Boer's property that were put there in 1973. And they're still there.
Yeah, I mean, every now and again we'll be dry and Mom will see one. She'll be like, that's one of my dad's feeders. And I have an interesting personal connection, too, to kind of the dairy calf industry. Is one of my good friends from college grew up in Ferndale. So we went up there 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, she got married in her parents' yard and they're, you know, out on their dairy. Really beautiful. But, you know, Mom has all this connection and stories of going there because Grandpa traveled up there to sell
calf pens.
Yeah. So that's interesting because I'm like, who? Nobody knows where Ferndale, nobody's gone to Ferndale. I'm like, well, my grandfather did and my mom did. And now I did. So that's kind of funny to me. But
well, it's like Mark marrying Kristen.
Yeah.
Her family's had kids.
Yep. That connection. Well, so what led Grandpa into getting involved with the bank? I mean, that's a kind of a whole nother.
That was kind of off the wall, wasn't it? Now, where he met Sid Levin, I think it was through Fred. It's the only connection I can make that he would have somehow been looking for an attorney and found Sid. And Sid was then talking about putting a bank together. Well, Fred wasn't interested, apparently, but Don did get interested. And so it actually was Sid Levin and your grandpa that started the bank. They're the ones that went out and found the other, that ended up board members, all the other guys that wanted to invest in it, which was a very small investment, basically. And then they bought the building, which the guy almost gave it to him because of what was going on and how he wanted to feel he was involved, so he sold that building for a real less than it was well worth.
Do you is that where the bank is?
The Main Street Bank is in that, and that's where the corporates are.
Do you remember what was their motivation for wanting to start a bank? I mean, that to me, I mean, which I'm sure I can't grasp what banking was like.
I couldn't either.
But risky. Yeah, that's what it seems to me.
Yeah, but it all fit together so well. That was the thing, that it just fit together. They found the funds, they found the building, they found the people that want to invest in it and start it.
Do you have any memory of Grandpa coming to you and saying, I'm going to use our money to go do this thing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We sat down, we had it all laid out in front of us. And, I always, my whole life, felt very strongly that whatever he was going to do was going to work. It was just in me, you know. I just had that feeling that I knew he was going to be that way. So it didn't bother me. It didn't bother me at all because it's the feeling that he went out and earned that money, and if he thinks it's going to work, then let's try it.
Yeah,
I was willing. Well, it's like anything, like going into the bus business. You took care of a 35-foot bus that had seats in it and built it into a camper. Who did that?
Yeah.
Who started raising calves and decided they got to go in a pen? They can't go on the ground anymore. So it wasn't anything new to me. that we were going to start something from ground up.
I think that's one of the saddest things for me, to have Grandpa gone through a time in my life and my cousin's lives that we were we are making these choices in our lives. We're going out there making money. We're figuring out how to contribute to our communities, and to not have him getting his say. That makes not me being sad. It,
yeah.
That and
hey, that's how I feel about having 15 great grandchildren and him not being here.
Yeah. Yeah. Could you imagine? But that, I'd say that and my husband never knowing him is a hard one. Grandpa would have liked Chase. I'm pretty positive.
He would have.
And I think Chase would have really admired him.
He would have definitely been part of him making sure that kid did the right things, which he knew if Grandpa told him, he would have liked it just like any of the other kids did. He would have got along with it.
Yeah. So your last story kind of strikes up a similar note in the conversation I had with Dad and talking to him about when they got started with the side businesses and CSM and trying to make sense of why in the world my mother agreed with him, when they have three young kids at home, to go put all of their money into this business, this new risky business idea. And he can't answer for her. I got to dive into that with Mom. But as a wife who trusts and respects her husband, I get it. I get that. So all of that kind of makes me now kind of jump over to a whole nother idea. I'm really curious what your view has been on watching Mom and Dad and seeing, that's a loaded question because pregnant, married, disabled at 16, drug addiction, doing well in business, doing well for themselves here in Springville. It's like there's so much you've observed them doing, and I'm really curious kind of what...
I think because of Donna's background with her father, because she was with us every day. She went to work with us when we had the business down there, and she learned a lot in 5 years. At 5 years old, she was running a big machine making spring. A five-year-old doesn't normally connect to that sort of thing, but...
Well, they're not given the chance to.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. So in her growing up and for what happened with her getting pregnant, it's kind of the same old thing with me. It's you accept it. It's like I accept him doing these things. I accept what the children do. And I accepted it. It was kind of hard. His mom was much more emotional about it than I was. In the fact of the pregnancy, they I don't think they accepted it as much as we did, because we knew that in our young life, when we started going together, there was always a possibility I could get pregnant, because we had sex before we got married.
What?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So we knew that that happened.
Yeah.
It's life. It happened. The accident was hard. It was really hard to see him because he was so young. But they had so much going for them. You could tell.
Yeah.
It was, and of course, she's brought him through a lot of things, and it's only because she's a strong girl.
Yeah, I know.
She's very strong.
It's as a wife and a mother now, I'm constantly amazed at my mother. I remember after I had Heath, I think it was the first Mother's Day, I wrote her a letter and just saying like, you mothering is the most thankless job, and you give, and then when you're not giving, you're worrying about what you need to be giving and if everyone's okay and is everyone healthy and safe. And my mom does that as long as I can remember. That's how she's been. And it's, you know, she has two boys, so boys don't say thank you, I think, as often as daughters might.
Yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, amazed at that. But again, it ties into, I've had exceptional influences. I mean, you and my Grandma Walker were both dedicated to your husbands. You were both, you've respected them. You gave them kind of their space as who they are, as the man and the husband and the father role and all of that in the family, which I think is really sacred.
It is. Yeah. It is very much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very important. It is one of your most important things, I think. Over and above your children, he is.
Yeah, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I think people don't see that sometimes, but I've watched it and I live it. And the reason that works is because he returns
exactly
that respect back to me. So it's a very mutual.
And it has to be.
Yeah.
It has to be.
Yeah.
If it's not, it's only one-sided, it won't work.
Yeah.
No, it's got to be two sides.
You know, a lot of talk about Grandpa. I mean, there's so much
stuff. That's my life.
I know. It's, you know, but I'm still, you know, there's so much just about your life. Like, I just, that's made you who you are and why you've mothered the way you have and been the grandmother you have. And I'm struggling a lot now with having kids is, what do I get to do for fun? So it makes me curious, like, what do you recall? What stuff, even before maybe you were even married, that was fun for you? Do you remember having hobbies?
I think just actually mine was basically getting out and away from my mother. So I did a lot of, when we lived in New York, I spent a lot of time at my grandmother's. Mostly my mother's mother, because she was probably the only one that really I was comfortable with. And I remember going to church with her. I remember going to catechism. I remember playing on her block of houses with the kids in that neighborhood. I do not remember doing anything at my house.
Was this Grandma Moore?
Uh-huh.
This was Bernadette Moore. Okay.
My Grandma and Grandpa Oderkirk lived very close to me, but I didn't go to their house, only with the family, only if my dad and mother went. That was not a comfortable place. It was just, I don't know what it was, but I was with my grandmother more a lot. And like I say, I went to church with her, so it was like prayer meetings and Sunday church, and then I went through catechism and got my... But I hated every minute of it. It's really funny, you know?
Well, I'm assuming that much, considering it didn't carry into your adult life when you got to choose. So.
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
No, because I found a lot more fun going to the Pentecostal church.
Did you and Grandpa ever go to church together?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we did. When we were younger, we did more than we did as we grew older. We didn't push it.
Yeah.
But because of Olive and Orville, it was just expected of us, you know, that the kids, we kind of go to church with them a lot. But they didn't, you know, that was just part of their life. But yeah, and the only thing, things I can remember before I left New York, which was only 11 when I left New York, but was riding bikes with the kids on the block where my grandmother lived and playing with those kids. Jumping out of second-story window one time. Oh, that was frightening. But the kids lived in a three-story house. And we did. We jumped out onto a mattress. I can remember going to a lake cottage. And then that would have been my grandma and grandpa Oderkirk's college. It was on a lake, and I don't remember what lake it was now. But I do remember there was a kind of like a diving board, and it dove. You jumped off of it basically, and it was floating in the water. But it was like an old mattress, and my foot went through it, and I still have a scar on my leg from that. I remember that.
Have you ever thought about going back, trying to find those places?
No.
No? Mm-mm. No. No desire?
There wasn't, no. Once Grandma and Grandpa moved here, it didn't matter. And they moved here just a short time after we did, really. I mean, it wasn't that long.
And you, by here, you mean California? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I still have a cousin mm-hmm. that I write back and forth to.
Do you?
Yeah.
Who is that?
Her name is Donna D. Cook. She was an Oderkirk.
An Oderkirk, okay.
And my mother didn't have any siblings.
Where does she live, do you know?
She lives in Conroy, C-O-N-R-O-E, R-O-E-L, Conroy, Texas.
In Texas, oh. Mm-hmm. But she was a New York.
Yeah, she was born and raised in New York. Hmm. Yeah, the Oderkirk family pretty much stayed in New York, though. I think I have two other cousins, Gary and Jerry, and I think they're still in New York. But Donna keeps me kind of filled in on what's going on with that side of the family, mm-hmm. a few that are left. But yeah, it's funny that she and I contacted each other about 5 or 6 years ago when we started writing at Christmas time. We write Christmas cards back and forth.
How'd you find each other? I mean, I imagine you have to be easy to find. You've been in the same spot for...
Yeah, we've been here long enough. Well, I think it was when her mother... No, it would have been her grandmother. Maybe it was when her grandmother passed away. Mm. And she contacted her, she could find in the family. And that's when we started.
Hmm. I was gonna say, it wasn't Facebook that you found her on.
Right? Oh, no, no, not me.
So that actually makes me think of something. Is I'm curious what you see that's different for kids now than when you were raising, you know, when mom was a kid. Like what?
Well, I've said it 100,000 times that just being in Springville makes it so much difference from when they were growing up here, and they had the freedom, mm-hmm. the freedom of being able to walk from the house to town, mm. the freedom to be able to meet their friends in town and go to the river, spend the day at the river, mm-hmm. Just that kind of thing, and the fact that they're, you know, this Facebook stuff. It involves the children's mind too much. Mm-hmm. They need to be out doing something mm-hmm. creative because they're not doing their little minds any good at all, I don't think.
Well, so like for me, I wish I gave my kids more of that freedom, but my struggle is I don't have the family support. I mm-hmm. chose to live in a place that I'm not close to my family, which is...
But it's better since you've been closer.
Definitely. I mean, yeah. But that's one of the things I had no idea until I had kids. And then I went, oh, this is why people live near their families. Because mm-hmm. parenting is hard and doing it by yourself is...
Difficult.
Very yeah. difficult. Right. I mean, everyone pays the price.
Well, and you've got to imagine what Janelle's going through right now.
Yeah, it's going to be a rude awakening, I think. Yeah. Yeah.
Except that she has her sister there.
Yeah. And Jody's...
Even though they don't get along. But, well, I mean, they do. They do.
Pretty good for sisters.
That's... Yeah, they do. But and they'll get along better.
Yeah.
The more they're together, they'll get along better.
Yeah.
Oh, Jody's having an awful time.
Oh, is she?
Yeah. Not so much that, you know, she's so that much closer to her, but she's right here.
Yeah. It's a different mm-hmm. a different vibe. I mean, not
now. See, that's another thing with me. I don't drive to Bakersfield. I could. I drive to Pismo. I could drive to Bakersfield. And I know that they're going to be gone, and they're going to take those kids with them. But I can accept it. Hmm. I don't get upset about it.
Yeah.
I guess that's part of my makeup, is that I can... I cannot feel like they're abandoning me. I feel like it's something they need to do. Hmm. And they do, just as you did. You had mm-hmm. to do that. There was no way you could not do what you did and are doing right now. And thankful that you are closer and you are yeah. being able to spend more time with your family.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
But I just accept it because I know it's something that's good for you.
Hmm. That's a hard thing for most people.
Yeah. I think it is. I really do. Because, like I say, Jody, she'll settle down. It'll be fine. She'll be going down there more often.
She'll adjust, too, to make it work.
She's going to be retiring. She's going to have all the time in the world to do that. So, but, yeah, it's acceptable to me. It's like Janelle and Todd have been struggling. What he had here was not going to get any better than it was. It was just not going to do that. And where he's going now, it's going to.
Yeah.
It's going to put him in a much better position.
Yeah.
As you do, you move. Where his job goes, that's because you have to do that.
Yeah.
That's your life.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's a conscious choice. We understand we're compromising something to have that life.
Mm-hmm.
But then I do whatever I can to be here and take advantage of, you know, Heath's not in school yet, so I'm going to spend those days now that I don't have
to worry
about.
Well, and your mom's open for it, too.
Yeah.
You know, she's...
But it's a totally...
And even Dad, I mean, he goes over and helps too.
Yeah, last time he came and picked them up.
That was good, you know?
As he's making them dinner or lunch right now. So.
Yeah, he loves it.
Yeah. And my boys love it too. I mean, they love Grandma.
See, that's the good. Yeah. That's the good part. Yeah.
So maybe what is something that surprises you about your life now?
That I'm happy. I can accept this situation that I'm in, being alone, basically.
Yeah.
Except that I don't wonder why, but I do. I wonder why a lot of times, you know.
What's that, like, why am I alone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm not. I'm not alone because I've got all of you around me, all of you. I mean, if I felt like I needed to call somebody, I could call any one of you. And you'd be right there for me.
Yes.
And I know that.
Yes. I mean...
You know, so I feel like my life is very full.
Yeah.
And I like living. I like doing what I'm doing. You know, I've heard so many people, you know, get to the point where they say, oh, I don't want to be alone anymore. I don't want to be alone anymore. Well, go do something.
Well, that's what I see you. It's you, you don't
Yeah, if you
for...
have to just go shopping.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You don't have to buy anything. Just go shopping.
Yeah.
Get out of the house. Go do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that's a beautiful thing to say. Hey, I need something in my life right now. I'm going to do it for myself instead of waiting for someone else
mm-hmm.
to fill that
mm-hmm.
that spot up. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's another tough thing. People don't do well for themselves. So.
No, they don't, and it's it's stupid.
What?
You got to mind use it, you know.
Yes, yeah,
if,
right?
If it's sitting, like Barbara doesn't have TV. She's got one of those pads.
Kindle or a...
No, it isn't a Kindle.
iPad?
iPad.
Yeah.
Well, she keeps up on all the news.
Mm.
Oh, everything that's going on. Sees all this stuff. She doesn't have TV, but she spends her time on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And keeps me posted as to what's going on in my life, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I knew the kids were going to do that.
I always joke that because Alice does that. She's very involved with the news, and I always joke that I'm like, I'm glad you are because you can just summarize for me, and then I don't have to spend my time staying up on that or, you know, certain topics. Like, she's really cares about certain things. And I'm like, okay, give me the cliff notes, and I'm good to go. Yeah, like, I like that, and I don't have to spend the time. But
same here. I like my phone. I have a phone I carry with me all the time. I make sure it's always charged up. And if you really need to get me, I always have it on when I'm going
mm-hmm.
out of town, you know, downtown. Otherwise, call me on the house phone. Because my cell phone is in my car.
Yeah.
It's for emergencies only.
For when you're on the move.
Yes.
Yes.
This morning, I got to the cafe and it was closed. So I called Jody and said, the cafe's closed. Now what?
Yeah.
I used my phone. Wow.
Well, we're almost out of time on this.
Okay.
We're going to talk more. This is just the beginning. This is
okay.
This is like introduction. So, any last thoughts? Any last thoughts before it ends?
Not much, except I've enjoyed doing this. I think it's fun.
Good.
Yeah.
I hope this is the beginning. This is just starter material for me.
Well,
so,
okay.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you. Very good.